Well, good morning. Welcome to LifePoint Church. My name is Adam Purcell. I'm the teaching pastor here. We are really glad that you're here to celebrate Jesus with us, whether it's your first time or you've been here lots of times. We are genuinely thankful that you're here with us this morning. We're in a series that we're calling Adulting, where we're looking at the book of Proverbs and just learning how we can walk in a way that is wise. Before we jump into that, we have a couple of announcements that I want to just share with you. And so we mentioned a couple weeks ago that we were in contract on some more land because we already owned 6 acres as a congregation, and we were hoping to buy more land. And so we'll show you a picture in case this is new to you or maybe you've forgotten. So this is the piece of property that we now have closed on, and so we own. So if you look at this, oh wow, that's the wrong color. Let's do this. If we look at this, this is basically 15 acres, right? And so this section right here, we don't own that. So we're gonna put a frowny face right here. So we don't own that, right? But everything else. Is it not working? Oh, man. So that's on purpose. We just wanted to see if you guys are paying attention. You passed the test. Good job. So it says this is working. Let's try this one more time. No, okay. So, but it's up there. So I'll just point. So if you see the Mount Vernon High School football field to your right, there's kind of a rectangle of trees that are just to the left of that. Do you guys see what I'm talking about? So that is essentially 4 acres. We don't own that, right? So that we don't own that. But everything else, because so kind of like the weird triangle shaped thing behind that rectangle, so that's ours. And then everything up, so Mount Vernon Avenue is the road that you see at the top. And so that's approximately 11 acres that we now as a congregation officially own. And so we are really excited about that. It's something that we've been praying towards having a permanent location for really ever since we planted this church, I guess 6.5 years ago. And so we're in our lease here ends in April of 2022 is when we had 2 4-year leases in this space. And so if you're asking what comes next, then I'd encourage you to pray about this. In November, we will do a giving campaign to begin to take steps towards building a church facility on this place. And so really, really excited. And I tend to be reticent to say things like this, but with this particular piece of property, I literally don't know why it doesn't already have something on it. And the only explanation that I've got is I just genuinely believe that the Lord was kind of holding this for us. And so I'm so excited about what God has done in our congregation over the last 6.5 years. I'm excited that we get to baptize someone at the 9:30 service and again someone at the 11 o'clock service. The Lord has just been really, really faithful to us, and I'm excited to see what the Lord does in our midst at this new location whenever the Lord opens up those doors. And so please continue to pray and just be aware that really the next step in terms of moving to this location is a generosity campaign that we'll do in November. So that's announcement number one. Announcement number two is, so per our ministry leadership team, every 10 years of full-time service, they basically kick us out and they say, hey, we want you to do this for a career and not burn out and crash and burn. And so I'm basically getting kicked out for the next 8 weeks. It's really not that bad, right? But so I am going to take sabbatical. And so what that means for me is for the next 8 weeks, if it's not Jesus, my wife, or my kids, the answer is no. Right? So that's generally what that means for me. And the reason why our church does this is because you may or may not know this. Well, work is hard, right? Actually, today we're going to be talking about work, and work is hard. My job isn't necessarily harder than yours, but it's a difficult job. And so what our church had decided a long time ago was our assumption is that if you were called to ministry, you should assume that you're called to ministry until you retire or die, right? Like, not you shouldn't crash and burn. And so so what does that mean for you? You're going to have amazing people leading up here. We'll have all the other teaching pastors from our other campuses, and we have amazingly gifted teachers here, and so that's what's going to happen here. My request to you, really I have two requests from you or to you. One, please pray for me, right? I was talking with Megan before the service, and it sounds initially awesome to take 8 weeks off, and then eventually I was like, wait a minute. I don't want to take 8 weeks off. I like my job. I don't want to not do my job for 8 weeks. And just warning you, just pray for me too. Pray for yourselves. I don't want my first sermon back in 8 weeks to be 3 hours long because I'm just like ready to explode, right? So pray for yourselves in that regard. But please just pray for me that the Lord does things that I'm not even necessarily anticipating in this time that really is a gift from you to me. So please pray for me. That's one request. The second request that I have for you is, so I'm going on sabbatical for 8 weeks. you're not supposed to go on sabbatical for 8 weeks, right? There was actually kind of a reason. I mean, I in conversations, I told everyone, but this is the only announcement for this because we didn't really want people to be like, oh, well, if he's gone, I'm out because I go for Adam. That's a horrible attitude, right? You come for Jesus, right? And so please don't take sabbatical. If this is your home church, be connected and plugged in at your home church through the summer. And so those are the two announcements that I wanted to share with you. And so our big idea for this series is that wisdom is doing life God's way. If you're interested in living a life that is wise, then you need to do that in God's way. And a proverb I've been sharing in this series that has always grabbed my attention because it's a little bit terrifying is Proverbs 14:12. And what Proverbs 14:12 says, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. And so the proverb says that there is a way, a path, a manner of life that's gonna seem right. You're gonna look at that way and think, oh, looks good to me. And then the author of the Proverbs continues and he says, but its end is the way to death. It's like, oh. So there's a way that's going to seem right to me, but its end is the way to death. And wisdom is doing life God's way. And today we're going to be talking about what is really a central piece of all of our lives. And what we're going to be talking about is work. Now, some of us, we are stay-at-home parents. Some of us have careers that we really, really love and enjoy. Some of us are in a job. You wouldn't even necessarily call it a career, and you kind of hate it. Some of us are looking for work, and we've been unsuccessful at finding work. And so we're all in different places, but we all work, right? You can't get through a day without some type of work. And so the question I'd like us to think about for a minute is, why do you work? Like, when you think about, like, how much time and mental thought and energy that you give to work, why do you do it? Now, at first, you're probably going to say, because I have to, right? Like I work because I have to work. And there's probably a little bit of where that, yeah, that's true. We work because we have to work. It's this really cool thing where we work and then people give us money and then money gets us food and houses and things like that. So there is a degree where it's true that we work because we have to. But I think if you were to reflect a little bit longer, you'd realize, well, honestly, it's more than that. Honestly, one of the things that I learned as I was reflecting about this impending sabbatical, after my initial excitement, I got to the phase of, I don't want to do this. And then one of the things that the Lord, I felt like just really spoke to me about was, there's going to come a day, I don't know when that day is, there's going to come a day where I'm not just leaving for 8 weeks. Like, when I leave for this 8-week sabbatical, I'm keeping my keys, I'm keeping this laptop, I'm coming back. But there's going to come a day where either because I'm dead or I've retired, that I'm handing things in, and I'm walking away from what was a pretty central, huge piece of my life. And when you reflect on that, at least for me, when I reflected on that, it was a little bit sobering. It was actually, I was like, wow, that's probably one of the things sabbatical is meant to do, is to prepare my heart to not have my identity attached in my work. And so here's some things that I think we get when we work, reasons why we work. I think we work to find meaning, right? Like, we're all asking the question, do I matter, right? And work is one of the ways that we answer that question. Yes, I matter because I'm a mom, or yes, I matter because I'm a pastor, or a teacher, or a police officer, or like, yes, I matter because I blank, is how we often think about that. So it's not just because you have to, but we work to find meaning. And we also, I think, we work to find satisfaction. And part of that satisfaction is, hopefully your mindset in Christ is, I work to serve the Lord Jesus and to serve these people that I know he died for and that every single person is made in his image. And so there's some meaning in that, and there's also some satisfaction in it. There's some satisfaction in looking at something that you've accomplished and saying, yeah, I did that thing, or we as a team, we did that thing. Actually, one of the harder things about my job is, like, I can spend 8 hours reading and writing, and when I get done with the day, I can't, like, point to a chair and be like, that chair exists, and a lot of us have jobs like that, where what you're producing, it's a little bit fuzzy, it's a little bit nebulous as to, like can I point and say that is now different in the world because of the energy and effort that I put in today. So we work to find meaning, we work to find satisfaction, and satisfaction would include, yeah, getting money so we can get other stuff, right? And then I think we work to find belonging. Right, we all long to belong to a team. Like, it's fun to do things by yourself. It's more fun to accomplish things together. So we work to find meaning, satisfaction, belonging. But the challenge is we need rest. Like, I can't work 24/7. You can't work 24/7. It's just not possible for us. God has designed us to need rest. And so what we're going to be talking about today is really kind of two errors that the Proverbs talk about when it comes to our relationship with work. And the one error is we don't work enough. It's you're lazy, you're the sluggard. And some of us in this room, that's a real struggle for us. For others of us, statistically in the U.S., probably a lot more of us, our error isn't we don't work enough, but our error is more we're what you might call a workaholic, where work has become something that consumes us and it negatively impacts all of our relationships because we're giving too much of our time and mental energy and emotional energy, not to the people in our lives, the people in our home or our friends, but to work. And so we're gonna pray and ask the Lord to help us, and we're gonna be in Proverbs 6 is where we're going to start, and we're gonna talk about those two errors. And so we'll talk about some Proverbs for the lazy, and for some of you, it's gonna be you, and it might hurt a little bit. And then we'll talk about Proverbs for the workaholic, and for a lot of us, that's probably you, and you should listen to the whole thing, but especially that part. And so let's take a minute and let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift and privilege of being here together this morning. Father, thank you for your holy word and your choice to reveal yourself to us through it. Father, we confess that our desire is not just to be here doing religious stuff on a Sunday, but God, our hope is to become more like your son, Jesus. Our hope is to love and trust and obey your son, Jesus, more because we were here. And we confess, Father, that it's not something we can do on our own. But God, we need your help. And so, Father, please, by your Holy Spirit, give us help. God, please, by your spirits, conform our hearts to the image of your son, Jesus, knowing that that is absolutely the best thing for us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to read verses 6 through 11. It says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard," which sluggard is another word for lazy person, right? So go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. And so what we're going to do, like I said just moments ago, is just talk about some Proverbs for the lazy that come out of this passage. And so our Proverbs for the lazy, the first thing that we'll say is consider the ant. And so if you're wondering, you know, am I lazy or am I a workaholic? And I was talking to my wife yesterday about this, and I think either way, if you're asking, well, how do I know? Well, first, in the Proverbs, they're going to give you some symptoms of laziness in particular. But I would say the first thing I would look at is how are your relationships? Because both in terms of laziness and in terms of being a workaholic, your relationships are going to suffer. They're going to suffer for different reasons, but your relationships are going to suffer. The second thing that I would encourage you to look at is in our culture, 30 to 60 hours is pretty normal for full-time work. Right? If you're somewhere in there, you're probably in the ballpark. If you're outside of that range one way or the other, then you're probably out of balance one way if you're considering yourself like a full-time employee. But the author of Proverbs says, hey, for you the sluggard, if you this is something that maybe is a struggle for you, he says, consider the ant, and specifically he says, she doesn't need supervision. She just does what is necessary when it's necessary. And so there's a time to be planting, so to speak, and there's a time to be harvesting, and the ant doesn't have a boss, it doesn't have someone telling it what to do. The ant's just by instinct. They just do what is necessary when it is necessary. And so he says, hey, if you're struggling with this, consider ants. Like, have you looked down? I mean, there's like a billion of them, and they all do what they need to do when they need to do it. Are you doing the things that you need to do when you need to do it? Now, here's just a free side note for those of us that are in close relationships, whether it's a roommate or you've got a spouse. Some of us, right or wrong, we look at our significant other or our roommate or our sibling, and we're like, they need some supervision. And you volunteer yourself for that role, right? And so you're like, honey, 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 do this, do this, do this. And so I just want to encourage you, if you know you're prone to assuming that your spouse needs some supervision, that might not be the healthiest habit for you to have in your marriage, to treat your spouse or your roommate or whatever like a child, right? So just if that's you, you know, that's just free, right? So you guys should talk about that when you get home and maybe find different ways to motivate each other to serve and love one another. But if you're asking a spouse, How do you want to serve in the home? The answer should always be more. I want to serve more than I'm currently serving because Jesus died, right? And I haven't reached that level yet, and so I want to die in order to serve my spouse and my kids or my roommates or whatever your living arrangement looks like. But the proverb said, consider the ant. She doesn't need supervision. She does what is necessary when it's necessary. And so for lazy people, that's often a struggle for us. We maybe tell ourselves lies. If you read the Proverbs, there's this other proverb where the lazy person is saying, there's a lion in the street. And the point of the proverb is, if you're lazy, there's always a reason to do what you should do. Or there's always a reason you can find to not do what you should do. There's a fierce lion in the street. I can't do it right now. And so if that's you, maybe it's time for you to repent and that consider the ant. She does what she needs when she needs to do it, and she doesn't need supervision. The second thing that we'll say is consider your habits, right? So consider the ant, consider your habits. One of the other proverbs, this won't be on the screen, but Proverbs 18:9 has always captured my attention as well, and it says, whoever is slack in his work. So there's this lazy person who is slack in his work. Whoever is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. Did you catch that? Whoever is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. Because here's what happens with a lazy person, right? And so they're not considering the ant, they're not considering their habits, and what they tend to think is, oh, well, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm too lazy to do that, right? I'm not actively out there hurting someone. I'm not destroying anything that would take energy, and that's not what I do because I'm lazy. And this proverb reminds us, no, you're missing the point. When you are slack in your work, you're a brother to the person who is out there destroying things on purpose because you're not contributing your fair share. And so whether you feel like it or not, your habits of laziness, if you have them, they're not innocent. Like, oh, it's no big deal that I don't do these things, that I don't pull my own weight, but rather you're a brother, so to speak. You are closely connected to the one who destroys. I love how the proverb said it, you know, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And here's the challenge for those of us that struggle with this is, it feels like a little, right? Like, oh, it was just this one time, where it was just a little folding of the hands to rest, just a little sleep and a little slumber. But if you have a habit of a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to rest over and over and over and over, you're not taking good biblical rest, you're lazy. You're slack in your work. You're the brother of him who destroys. And this is where it's important for us to understand that when we choose to not participate in the work of the home or the work in our civilization, like through having like a vocation or a job, like we're hurting other people. We're hurting people that we probably very much care about. So understand, if you struggle with this, that your inaction, it isn't innocent, but it actually hurts people. And the other thing that's important for those of us who profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior is that whether you like it or not, the scriptures say that we are ambassadors of Christ. And if you are known as the lazy person at your workplace, you're missing a really fantastic opportunity to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it comes to the way that we participate in our work spheres, wherever we may work, whether it's in the home or in the community, people should look at us and say, wow, they do a really good job. Like they show up on time, they show up with energy and joy, and they do what they're asked to do. And sometimes they do even more than they're asked to do, and yet they have this habit of taking rest, which is confusing, but they do that too. People should look at us, those of us who follow Jesus, because we have the Holy Spirit empowering us to love and serve in supernatural ways. And so if this is a struggle for you, consider the ant, yes, but consider your habits. Josh and Brian and I were doing a book study recently, and there was this quote that I just really loved, and you might hear us say it more around here, I don't know, but the quote was, you're a thermostat, not a thermometer. And I read that, and I thought, man, what a great quote for this, right? Because, and here's what the author meant. What is easy for us to do is to default to being thermometers. We walk into, say, our workplace, and we're in a thermometer mode. Like, I'm judging the temperature of the room. I'm judging that person for how hard they work or don't work. I'm judging that person for what I know is going on in their personal life. I'm measuring. That's what thermometers do. They measure what's going on. Thermostats control the temperature in the room. And so I would encourage you to think about how could you be a thermostat in your home? How could you be a thermostat in your workplace or where you go to school or whatever? And what I mean by that is just intentionally bringing love and warmth and joy and an attitude of, we're gonna work because work is fun. We're gonna work and do this thing together, and we're gonna work hard. Like, you're gonna turn up the temperature in that space because you remember, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here just to measure what's going on. I'm not a thermometer, I'm a thermostat. And I just really loved that quote. The last thing we'll say about the sluggard, so we've said consider the ant, consider your habits, and the last thing that we'll say is consider your future. And if you notice in the proverb, it talks about how this person who they're the sluggard, they're slack in their work, and it's just a little sleep and a little rest and a little folding of the hands. And then all of a sudden, poverty comes upon you like an armed person, right? And so the idea there is that it's almost like gonna catch this lazy person off guard, like, oh wait, what happened? I've been lazy for years, and now all of a sudden I'm reaping the consequences of my laziness. Consider your future if this is a struggle for you, because again, and some of you, this is malicious. I think a lot of you, it's just accidental, it's just a habit that you've got, but you're hurting yourself, and you're also hurting other people in your laziness. And so the author of the Proverbs says, hey, consider your future, right? Like, poverty is gonna come on you like an armed man. And that poverty will very likely be monetary. Like, that's probably gonna be a thing. But for us in our culture, it's also probably gonna be relational poverty. Where, you know when I get to talk to people who are married quite a bit, and one of the things that can really negatively impact marriages is a belief. And here's the important thing too. It doesn't matter whether the belief is true or not. It matters that the belief is there. A belief that the other spouse is lazy. That they come home from work and they don't contribute to the household. Or maybe they don't even have a job and they're also not contributing to the household. And that game can only be played for so long, until eventually you have this relational poverty where sometimes it ends in divorce, sometimes not, but there's not a closeness, there's not a sense of we're on a team doing this together, but there's a sense of what I mean, kind of joked about earlier, where one person decides, oh, this aunt needs some supervision, and so I'm gonna begin to parent this person like they're a child instead of treating them like an equal partner in marriage. And you can see how that would pretty quickly crush a marriage, because you've got not two teammates working together, a team, but you've got competitors, really. Competitors to squeeze maximum value out of one another. And so if this is a struggle for you, whether it's in the home or in the workplace or maybe all of those areas, the proverb is challenging us to consider your future and how poverty, whether it's monetary or relational, will come on you like an armed man. And I've shared this stat with you before, and I forget the exact numbers now, but for those of us who are married men and who work outside of the home, and we have wives who also work outside of the home, I just wanna make you aware of something that sociologists, when they study this, find. What they find is that in those arrangements, the wife still does way more than her fair share of the work in the home. And I don't know why that happens broadly in the culture, But I would say for those of us who follow Jesus, and we look at Ephesians 5, and Ephesians 5 says, you die. Like, your job as the husband is death. Death doesn't look like letting your spouse do an outsized share of the workload, right? So that's not what death looks like when it comes to laying down our lives for our wives. And so I would say, I mean, most of us have wives that are pretty candid with us, you know, maybe in the supervisor aunt way, don't do that. But maybe ask. Say, hey, how am I doing in this area? Is there something else that I could do to help around the home? Some of you are like, man, I hate this church. So I love you. This will help your marriage. Poverty will come on you like a thief. So maybe that's a good conversation for you to have. So let's switch and let's talk about Proverbs for the workaholic, which again, some of us were in the first camp. Some of us, statistically, a lot of us are probably here. And so a couple Proverbs that we'll read. The first is Proverbs 19:23, and it says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Proverbs 27:20 says, Sheol and Abaddon. So those are just words for death. Right? Like death, Hades, the afterlife, the grave. The grave is never satisfied. And like that, there's like a parallel here. The grave is never satisfied. And never satisfied are the eyes of man. And then this won't be on the screen, but Hebrews 4, 9 through 12 says, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from him. Let us therefore strive." So you catch that? Strive to work really hard. Let's work really hard to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And so we'll say two things here for you to consider if being a workaholic or working probably more than you ought to is something that's a struggle for you. And the first thing we'll say is, consider your heart. Which a lot of us don't like to do that. That's why we overwork. Because if we're busy, we don't have to think about serious stuff, heart level stuff, relationship stuff. We can just throw ourselves into the work. And it's good to work. Work really hard. But consider your heart. So the first proverb we read talks about how fear of the Lord, it leads to life. It leads to rest. So what are you afraid of? If you and I could sit down and we're having this conversation over coffee and I'm like, "Hey, why do you work?" And you're like, "Because I have to." And then we really get into it. And what are you afraid of? And for a lot of us, especially those of us who would fairly be called workaholics, a big part of what's driving that is we're not afraid of the Lord. But we're afraid of some other stuff. And a lot of those, the stuff were things that were planted into our hearts on purpose or on accident when we were pretty little. And so some of us, we were poor when we grew up. And so we told ourselves then, we knew we were hard workers, we knew we were smart, we knew we could figure it out. And so we told ourselves, never, never will I or my family be in a situation where we're struggling financially. Not me. And you might have been 4 when you made that decision, or 10, or 13, and that's something that, and honestly, you're afraid. You're afraid of becoming maybe what you saw in the people who were responsible for you. You're afraid of believing that you're a failure, and so there's this thing that just drives you, and you can just never rest. Because you're afraid. You're afraid of thinking that you're a failure. You're afraid of looking at what you've got in the bank account and the lifestyle that you're able to provide yourself and for your family and friends and loved ones. And you're afraid that you won't be able to give them this, whatever the bar is that you have set, you're afraid. And the irony in this, or the sad thing in this is, some of us, we're afraid of love. I don't know if maybe that's the wrong way to say that. We're afraid of closeness, people getting close. Even our spouse, or maybe our kids, a lot of men. I mean, happy Father's Day. You guys are awesome, love dads. A lot of men, not just men, but men, you don't feel like you know what you're doing when you get home. There are these kids, and they're little, and they have needs, and you're not really sure exactly what those are, and you've got a wife, and you love her, but she's got these needs, and she talks, and there's feelings, and you don't know, right? You don't know? Yeah, it happens. So you're afraid. You're afraid of blowing it. You're afraid of messing it up. You're afraid of being vulnerable. You're afraid of being known. There's all sorts of fears. And you know what, where you're good? Out there in the world. Kicking butt, taking names, making money, because you love your family so much, you're gonna avoid them to make more money for them. That's a thing, right? Like, I love my family so much, I'm never gonna see them so that I can make money to give to them so they can do things without me. And I just wanna press on you to maybe dig in a little bit. What are you afraid of? And if that fear is causing you to be a workaholic, it's probably negatively impacting your relationships, probably in ways that you're not even aware of. And so again, especially married couples, maybe have conversations about this, right? Like, what does it look like for us in terms of how much money do we want? How many hours does that require? Should we sell our home for a smaller home so that we can have more time together? Because it's a trade, right? Money, time, right? That's the trade, basically, with work. Money and time. Talk about that. Because for a lot of people, and I'll say dads in particular maybe, you think you need way more money than you need. And what your family really wants is you. And maybe that scares you because you're not sure that you would be a good dad if you were around a lot. Well, you're smart. I think you'll figure it out, right? But you'll only know if you try. So consider your heart, consider what you're afraid of, consider where you're finding your satisfaction. And obviously the word is telling you to find your satisfaction in the Lord and not in your work. Understand that your eyes, just like the grave, have a tendency to never be satisfied. Like there's never enough. There's never enough money, never enough stuff, never enough pleasure if you're finding those things outside of Jesus. And the second thing that we'll say is consider your calendar. So if this is a struggle for you, where you probably work more than you ought to, I mean, you're putting 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 hours a weekend, and that's your rhythm. So I want to say two things to you here. First, in life, I was listening to a podcast, and there was this guy in his 50s, and he's, you know, life has gone well, right? And so life has gone well. And the interviewer was asking him, hey, so what do you think that was? And the guy said, well, honestly, in your 50s, you're basically reaping the benefits of your 30s and 40s. And he said there are three areas in your life where you are irreplaceable. And the one is your spiritual health, right? No one can read the Bible for you. No one can pray for you. No one can come to church for you. You are irreplaceable when it comes to your spiritual health. The second thing he said is when it comes to your physical health, you're irreplaceable. Like, no one can eat healthy for me. No one can exercise for me. I wish you could, right? Like, that'd be awesome. Hey, I'd like to lose a few pounds. Could you eat a salad? Like that'd be great, right? But that's not possible. So when it comes to your spiritual health, when it comes to your physical health, you are not replaceable. When it comes to your role as spouse and parent, you are irreplaceable. No one else can do that. And he pointed out how when it comes to especially our work, at some point, I don't know if you've thought about this, like at some point I am leaving, right? I might take another job, I might be dead, I might retire, but at some point I am leaving. And guess what will happen when I leave? I will be replaced. And for you, no matter where you work or how critical you are to the mission, at some point, you're going to leave. And guess what's going to happen? They'll replace you. They'll find someone else. And for me at least, you know, I hope this is in like 30 years. I hope that whoever we hire makes me look like the worst pastor ever. Like, wow, remember Adam? That guy stunk. This guy, he's amazing, right? Like, I hope that's a thing. I really pray for that. But the point is, there's only really three areas in your life where you were irreplaceable. And when you think about your calendar, are you giving the lion's share of your time to those areas where you are truly irreplaceable? Or are you giving the lion's share of your mind and your heart and your like actual physical time to these things where you're gonna be replaced? One way or another, that doesn't mean don't give your energy, give your best, like give your best at work. They're gonna replace you. At some point, they're replacing you. And the second thing that I would encourage you to think about is, and for some of us, I understand this is not possible. I get it. But take a Sabbath. I mean, even God took a Sabbath in creating, right? He never gets tired. He never loses energy. But he instituted what we call the Sabbath. And so what is a Sabbath? The Sabbath is just a 24-hour period of rest. And I've been doing this since we moved here to Plant, so it's been about 6.5 years. So every single Thursday night, sometime on Thursday, I'm done with work. Sometimes it's 3, praise God. Sometimes it's midnight, okay. But at some point, I stop working. And then on Saturday morning, so it actually ends up being more than 36 hours, I work again. And there are things that happen in your heart that I think only happen when you begin to have this weekly rhythm of taking time away from your vocation and your work, right? You rest, and honestly, it reminds you that you're an exile here, and you're practicing for heaven. And you know what happens every single Friday when I take time off? LifePoint Church keeps on going just fine. It's just fine. You know what else keeps going just fine? The universe. Because you know who's in charge of the universe? Not this guy. Like, I can take a whole day off, and everything keeps going just fine. Like, I could have never told you that I take a Sabbath on Fridays. You know how much your life would have been impacted? This much, right? Like, it's fine. Take a break. Take a rest. You'll learn that actually, one, it's fun. Two, it's good for you. And you learn things about the Lord that you just don't learn when you don't allow yourself to take that break. And I know a lot of you are thinking, well, he doesn't understand. I can't take a day off because I'm so needed. You're exactly the kind of person who really needs a Sabbath, because what you'll learn is, man, I can rest. I can mentally rest because God's in charge. I'm not in charge. And so if you're interested in taking a Sabbath, here's what I'd encourage you to think about as you take it. It could be 4 hours, it could be 24 hours, whatever you want to do. But begin that as a habit weekly. Practice for heaven is the broad frame. So what do we do in heaven? We worship, we rest, we have fun. And so if you're asking, well, what am I allowed to do? Well, I would say practice for heaven, right? That's where you're gonna live forever. If you love Jesus, that's where you're gonna live forever. Practice. Practice now, once a week, for what you're gonna do forever. So worship Jesus. Play some music, read the Bible, pray. Like, there are lots of ways to worship Jesus. Do those things. And rest. Just rest. Right? You don't have to take a nap. You can rest by walking in the woods. I rest by, like, you know, getting a chainsaw and cutting down trees sometimes. Like, that's restful for me, right? Like, sometimes I do that, and I'm resting, right? Rawr! Like, that's what I do. So, worship, rest, and fun. Do fun stuff. Some people think that heaven's going to be boring. You have not met Jesus if you think heaven's going to be boring. Heaven's fun, and you're practicing for heaven. So do fun stuff, like really, really fun stuff. And I can't encourage you strongly enough, especially if you think that maybe this is a struggle for you. Find a way, even if it's just for a couple hours, because that's where you are right now in life. But take a Sabbath. Practice for heaven once a week. Worship, rest, and fun. And the last thing that we'll say over all of this is consider Jesus. Consider Jesus, because when we talked in the beginning, we said, why do you work? And at first we, you know, oh, because I have to. Well, not really. We work to find meaning. We work to find satisfaction. We work to find a team, relationships, a group to be a part of and accomplish something. But we need rest. Consider Jesus. He alone, he died to pay the penalty for our sin. He conquered death by his resurrection, and he alone can offer you the meaning and the satisfaction and the sense of belonging that we all want. And in him and him alone can you find the rest that you truly, truly need. Let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of being here together this morning. And Father, thank you that in your Son, Jesus, we can find the rest that we need, the rest from the mental energy that we have to pour out for our work. God, please help us. Please guard us from being lazy. And God, please guard us from being workaholics. God, help us to have great, healthy conversations with the people who are most important in our lives about how we can have a more faithful relationship with work. And God, please reveal yourself to us through your Son, Jesus, and remind us that no matter what we do for our work, that's a horrible place to find our ultimate meaning and satisfaction and belonging, but that you offer those things to us through your Son, Jesus. May we love and trust him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. We pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.